Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Ramadan is Islam's holy month. It's also a month of fasting during which able-bodied Muslims abstain from food and drink from sunrise to sunset. This poses unique challenges for professional athletes like goaltender Bill Hamid, who is based here in Washington with Major League Soccer's DC United club. The 26-year-old Hamid is a first-generation American whose Muslim family comes from Sierra Leone. He tells VOA he prays with his family before games and alone when he takes the field.
I'm usually standing on my goal line. I'll say Al-Fatiha right before the game. Right when we cross the white line, I'll say another Al-Fatiha. And then just from there, I just focus my mind solely on that game.
During Ramadan, though, Bill Hamid says he has to focus his mind not just on the game, but also on his faith.
It's not easy being on the field, especially in times like this where the heat is, it is going to get bad. So I want to have the right things in my body to make sure I'm, you know, giving myself the energy and the strength to play as well as I can.
Otherwise, Bill Hamid says, he follows Muslim tradition.
But I know if we don't have a game coming up, I'm going to make the right choice and I'm going to fast and make sure I get my prayers in and make sure that the things that I put in my life are the right choices on those days that I'm fasting. It's not easy to be a faithful servant in this religion, but nothing's meant to be easy, so you just have to do your best.
That's Bill Hamid, the goaltender for Major League Soccer's DC United club, and Bill was talking with VOA here in Washington.
Voice of America!
Hi, my name is Abdul Bilal Hamid. I'm the goalkeeper for DC United. And to any Muslims out there fasting in Ramadan, I want to wish you the best this holy month. I want to wish you a good, safe, easy Ramadan. So stay strong, and inshallah, it will be a quick month for us.
This VOA programming note, my special guest on Tuesday's Sunny Side of Sports is Alejandro Danois, the author of The Boys of Dunbar. Alejandro's book is described as a story of love, hope, and basketball. Ali tells the tale of the 1981-82 Dunbar Poets, one of the greatest high school basketball teams of all time. Four players on the Dunbar squad: Tyrone Muggsy Bogues, Reggie Russ Williams, David Gate Wingate, and the late Reggie Truck Lewis made it to the NBA. Alejandro Danois, the author of The Boys of Dunbar, my special guest on Tuesday's Sunny Side of Sports. Chile and host Russia scored victories on the opening weekend of action at the FIFA Confederations Cup football tournament, while Portugal and Mexico played to a 2-2 draw. The Russians scored a 2-0 victory over New Zealand in Saturday's opening match in St. Petersburg. A crowd of more than 50,000 attended the match at Krestovsky Stadium, including Russian President Vladimir Putin, who arrived by helicopter 30 minutes before kickoff. In Moscow, Arturo Vidal brushed off a hotly disputed video review to to give Chile a 2-0 win over African champion Cameroon. The Bayern Munich man Vidal knocked in a header in the 81st minute after a pass from Alexis Sanchez. Eduardo Vargas scored Chile's second goal in injury time, but only after another video review that found Sanchez was not offside when he received the ball. The Chileans thought they had taken the lead in first half stoppage time when Vargas slotted the ball past Cameroon goalkeeper Fabrice Ondoa. Damir Skomina, the referee from Slovenia, awarded the goal, and Chile's players started a big celebration. But the decision was sent for video review, and Vargas was ruled just offside, enraging him and Chile's players. In Kazan, Russia, Portugal and Mexico battled to an entertaining 2-2 draw. The Portuguese looked set for a late victory when Cedric Suarez scored with a deflected shot in the 86th minute. But Hector Moreno equalized for Mexico with a header in stoppage time. Real Madrid superstar Cristiano Ronaldo, coming off a tumultuous week off the field, set up Ricardo Quaresma's opening goal for Portugal in the 34th minute. And Javier Chicharito Hernandez hit Mexico's equalizer just before halftime. Talk to us, Chicharito!
We want just to show our best, to try to get here and to win this tournament. No, every tournament that we play, as a Mexican player, you want to win it. If not, there's no reason to come and just say, oh, we try to do our best. We want to win it. We have all the possibilities. We play against the European champion, and we did a very good match. We get the draw, and we're going to see if it's going to be a good point or not, depending about the next two results.
Mexican football player Javier Chicharito Hernandez speaking in Kazan, Russia, at the FIFA Confederations Cup tournament. I mentioned the tumultuous week for Portuguese star Cristiano Ronaldo. He attracted global headlines last week after being accused by a Spanish prosecutor of defrauding the country's tax authorities. A report by a Portuguese newspaper last Friday said the Real Madrid superstar had made the irreversible decision to leave the Spanish club because he was upset with the allegations. But right now, Ronaldo is still with Real Madrid, and he's still in Russia playing for Portugal at the FIFA Confederations Cup tournament. Joining us now from Abuja, Nigeria, with a package of African football news, is reporter Samson Omale. And Samson kicks off with the funeral of an Ivorian international player in Abidjan.
Cheick Tiote was laid to rest in the Ivory Coast on Sunday following his sudden death in China earlier this month. The former Newcastle midfielder Tiote moved to China in February to play for second division side Beijing Enterprises and was training with his club when he collapsed and passed away after emergency treatment at the age of 30. Tiote, a 52-time capped Ivory Coast international who featured at the 2010 and 2014 World Cups, was honored with a military funeral at the Williamsville Cemetery in Abidjan, where hundreds of people gathered to mourn him, including members of the Ivory Coast national team. Kenya has been given an August deadline by CAF to be ready for the CHAN 2018 tournament or see the continental event get a new host. However, the delegation led by CAF Vice President Constant Selemani brushed aside concerns that the 16-team championship reserved for players who are playing in their domestic leagues might be moved to another country, saying Kenya should be able to deliver on its promises. Cabinet Secretary for Sport Hassan Wariro pledged to make sure Kenya is ready. And now to the CAF Confederations Cup, where Rivers United of Nigeria must win in Port Harcourt on Tuesday when they play visiting KCCA of Uganda to revive their hopes in the CAF Confederations Cup. They are bottom of the standings in Group A with 3 points from as many matches and need to win in front of their home fans to revive their chances of reaching the knockout rounds of the competition. Rivers United lost 2-1 to the Ugandan champions in their first clash in Kampala and now face a tough tough battle on Tuesday as they aim to advance from the group stage of the competition. Ghana Black Stars captain Asamoah Gyan says he's concerned that Ghana Black Stars, under his leadership and playing career, may not win any silverware. It has been 35 years since Ghana won anything. Asamoah Gyan, who became the first Ghanaian to score 50 goals for the Black Stars last Sunday, now features for Al Ain's bitter rivals Al Hilal on loan from Chinese giants Shanghai SIPG. I am Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
A Sunny Side of Sports salute to American golfer Brooks Koepka, who captured his first major title at the U.S. Open at Erin Hills in Wisconsin. The 27-year-old Koepka finished at 16 under par, 272, a record-tying score for the U.S. Open in terms of shots under par.
I'm just going to enjoy it for right now, I think. It hasn't even sunk in, but I think it'll be special. You know, I want to see my family and be with them. I think that'll be pretty neat, and with everyone that's kind of played a part in helping me win this. I just want to be with them and my family.
Brooks Koepka won a first-place prize of $2,160,000 for winning the U.S. Open. He finished four shots ahead of Japan's Hideki Matsuyama and American Brian Harman.
I don't believe in moral victories. I had an opportunity today and I didn't get it done. But at the same time, I don't feel as though I lost the golf tournament. I just think Brooks went out and won the tournament. So I'm just going to keep trying to do what I'm good at and keep doing what I know how to do, and we'll see where that takes me.
At the U.S. Open, well, it took Brian Harman to a second-place finish. And the prize money is very good there, too. Brian and Japanese golfer Hideki Matsuyama each receive more than $1 million in prize money. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on the Voice of America.
VOA. Hi, my name is Florence Mwale, and I work as a reporter at Capital FM here in Malawi. With the world now a global village, the VOA's place cannot be overemphasized, since most of the issues it airs are pertinent to the advancement of least developed countries, such as Malawi. All of us here at Cable Radio Malawi are thrilled to be associated with the VOA as a partner station. Some of VOA's programs on our schedule include Straight Talk Africa and Daybreak Africa. As Cable Radio Malawi, we are excited to be associated with the VOA. And now, as the VOA celebrates its 75th anniversary, we look forward to more live radio interactions and strengthened relations. Happy 75th anniversary, Voice of America, from Capital Radio Malawi.
Thanks, Florence. And thanks to our friends at Capital Radio Malawi for that anniversary message celebrating the Voice of America's 75th year of broadcasting around the world. Joining us once again here in Studio 22 is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Monday?
Well, we just heard from Brooks Koepka, the newly minted U.S. Open golf champion for this year, winning actually his first major at the U.S. Open golf tournament there in Wisconsin. And a lot of people noting on social media, very bizarre statistic, the past seven major winners in golf have all been first-time winners.
So,
a lot of talk about when you look back, say, 10, 15 years ago, and Tiger Woods was dominating, he was winning everything, and he was the golfer, the number one golfer in the world. Now you're seeing a lot more parity. You're seeing everything kind of spread out among a bunch of different golfers. And a lot of fans saying that it's a good thing for the game, it bringing a lot of more people in, a lot of fans getting to know some names that they wouldn't get to know otherwise. And Brooks Koepka is one of those names that many fans are getting to know today after that big win. So very exciting for him. He was celebrating last night on his private plane flying out of Wisconsin, saying leaving Wisconsin with some extra hardware and then holding that trophy from his win. And then we saw a photo where the trophy was strapped into the plane seat next to a case of beer. So it looked like they were going to have some fun on that flight back, celebrate a little bit.
And I guess when you get a first place prize of more than $2 million, you can fly in your own private jet.
I think it's justified at that point. If you're bringing home that kind of payday, I think it's well worth it.
And who knows, maybe we'll see Brooks Koepka in that Forbes list down the road, Andrew, for highest paid athletes.
Yeah, if he can keep this up, certainly.
Well, what else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, speaking of names that people are getting to know and already know, Diana Taurasi, she's the Phoenix Mercury forward in the WNBA, that's the Women's National Basketball Association. She's played for the Mercury since 2004, and on Saturday, June 17th, she became the all-time leading scorer in the WNBA with 7,489 points. So this was a really cool moment. They, you know, knew that history was coming. She was approaching this mark. And when she breaks the record during the game, officials blow the game, you know, blow the whistle, stop the game. Congrats from players on both sides. They start flooding over to see her. Everybody's cheering. The announcers announce that she's broken the record. And she gets the game ball. So they get posed for pictures. And this is in the middle of the game. They stop and do this. So it was a very cool moment, recognizing what a historic achievement this is on her part. She's one of only nine women who has won a WNBA championship, an Olympic gold medal, and an NCAA championship when she was with the storied University of Connecticut women's basketball team. So already in rarefied air is one of those nine women, and now she is all on her own at the pinnacle of women's basketball in the U.S., scoring more points than anybody else.
Diana Taurasi, we gave a sunny side of sports salute earlier to Brooks Koepka. Let's give one to Diana Taurasi, Andrew. Now the WNBA's all-time leading scorer. I understand she reached that very notable achievement in front of none other than Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant on hand.
That she did. Kobe was there with his daughters to see history get made, and he said that they got these tickets well in advance, and they were hoping that the timing would line up, and indeed it did, so really fortuitous timing on his part. But he also tweeted out, he said, congrats, Diana Taurasi, hashtag GOAT, and then hashtag White Mamba, because, of course, Kobe Bryant is known as Black Mamba. That is his kind of nickname. So he has assigned Diana Taurasi as the hashtag White Mamba. So that's her new nickname from Kobe. Also, congratulations coming in from none other than LeBron James. He put out a video on social media where he said, it's an unbelievable accomplishment, DT. All the players call her DT, Diana Taurasi. He said, unbelievable accomplishment, DT. You set the standard not only for women's basketball, but for basketball in general. So much respect. So very high compliments from Kobe Bryant. He said he got to know Taurasi when they were both playing on the U.S. Olympic basketball teams. So they got to talk a lot about basketball, about their lives, about their careers. So a good friend of his, and they're good friends together. And he is congratulating her now. And then Kevin Durant also tweeting out, and he just says, yep, DT gets buckets any way you want him. So a lot of praise from her colleagues in the National Basketball Association.
Praise for DT. And just to quickly run down her Olympic achievements, four Olympic gold medals on the USA Olympic women's basketball team. She won gold 2004 in Athens, 2008 in Beijing, 2012 in London, and 2016 in Rio de Janeiro. I think she might have a very large trophy case, Andrew.
I think so, and I think they should make some room for her in the Basketball Hall of Fame. I think there's no doubt that she will be there, and probably quite a big display there to honor her accomplishments and this record that she's set.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, let's stick with basketball, but let's move over to the National Basketball Association. They're preparing for the draft later this week. So we're going to see a lot of college players getting that chance to move up to the professional leagues. And we're seeing some movement already. We talked about previously on the show that the Boston Celtics were able to trade up and get that number one pick. So not only did they advance in the postseason, they got to get the number one pick. It was a pretty good time for Boston for a while until they failed to make it to the finals, of course. But still, the number one pick for a team that's doing so well, very unusual. But the Philadelphia 76ers, the worst team in the National Basketball Association, traded, and now they have the number one pick. So this is the breaking news now.
So it's official.
Days before, Philadelphia is going to get the number one pick from the Boston Celtics. The Sixers will reportedly pick guard Markelle Fultz of the University of Washington, who is actually a local guy. He grew up in Upper Marlboro, Maryland, which is just maybe about 10, 15 miles outside of Washington, D.C. So lots of excitement of those players prepared to be drafted. One name in particular, a lot of people talking about, Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball played for the University of California at Los Angeles, or UCLA. Already, before he's even been drafted, has been kind of a figure in basketball for maybe not the right reasons, primarily because of his father, LeVar Ball. Very big claim saying that he could outplay Steph Curry, and that is, and there are three brothers. Lonzo Ball's one of the brothers. There are two other ones that I believe are in high school and saying that they can outplay anybody. They can, you know, go one-on-one with Steph and Curry and beat him. Well, Lonzo Ball has made it very clear that he wants to be the next Kobe Bryant and play at the Los Angeles Lakers. With this trade, though, there's some speculation, some conspiracy theories that Lonzo Ball might get snapped up by the Boston Celtics. So it's going to be very interesting. That's definitely a name to watch during that draft, if any of our listeners will be watching Lonzo Ball to see where he ends up. But lots of excitement, as we always see when any of the professional sports drafts. You're going to see a lot of social media posts. You're going to see a lot of video behind the scenes. It's going to be very well covered on social media.
Thanks, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. And just in case you want to mark your calendars, the 2017 NBA draft will be held on Thursday night, June 22nd, at the Barclays Center Arena in New York City. That's the home court of the Brooklyn Nets.
Yes.
I don't know where they pick, but I don't think it's one of the top picks.
No, it's not one of the top picks, and they're not one of the top teams, so nothing working out for Brooklyn right now.
All right, thank you, Andrew. And that wraps up the June 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondet. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
One of the world's most promising and, in terms of economy, fastest-growing regions, sub-Saharan Africa, is under attack by transnational criminal networks. Corruption is one of their major weapons. Corruption is an abuse of power at every level that impacts rich and poor countries alike in both the private and public sectors. Corruption destroys trust, undermines development, and erodes confidence in democratic institutions. It distorts markets, causes higher prices, discourages investors, and stunts economic growth. And it is particularly destructive to communities in developing countries, where it blocks development and progress. As the criminal networks see it, you must spend money to make money, and that goes double for corruption. And transnational crime is tremendously lucrative, accounting for 8 to 15% of the world gross domestic product. Hundreds of millions of dollars every year enable criminals and other threat networks to corrupt the regional economies and the global financial system, said Senior Director for National Security and Diplomacy Anti-Crime Programs at the State Department's Bureau of International Narcotics and Law Enforcement Affairs, David Luna.
The proceeds of drug trafficking and other forms of illicit trafficking are fueling a dramatic increase in corruption among the very institution responsible for fighting crime. The collusion and complicity of some government officials with criminal networks have helped to carve out an illicit trafficking corridor that stretches from West Africa coast to the Horn of Africa, from North Africa south to the Gulf of Guinea.
Across these illicit routes, bad actors and networks are corrupting critical institutions and enforcement systems that endanger everyone's security, said David Luna. The United States is determined, in cooperation with our partners in Africa, to disrupt and dismantle transnational organized crime networks. In support of President Donald Trump's executive order on transnational criminal organizations, the United States will continue to assist our partners to strengthen their capabilities to combat today's threat networks, said Mr. Luna. We must crack down on corruption at all levels and cut off the ability of kleptocrats, criminals, and terrorists to enjoy the fruits of illicit enterprise and that enable the financial capacity to execute their operations.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Africa. This is James Butte, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next, Straight Talk Africa, a preview of the Kenyan presidential election. The race between incumbent Uhuru Kenyatta and Raila Odinga. The main opposition candidate is looking increasingly competitive. A discussion on Kenya's presidential election on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.